بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولانا مرتضی صاحب is a contemporary of مولانا تنوی صاحب رحمة الله عليه. So he says that I was in the Masjid al-Nabawi ala sahibiha wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And I saw a birdwin and his eyes was focused towards the Rose Mubarak. And such focus, undivided attention, just for the Rose Mubarak. And for some unknown reason, he took a liking towards me, and I took a liking towards him as well. We don't know each other. He's a villager, he's a total birdwin. And he's taken a liking for me, and I've taken a liking for him. It was the month of Ramadan. After the Maghrib namaz, he asked me to join him for iftar. So I didn't want to disappoint him, old man, outwardly seems like a good person, not extraordinary pious, average. And he invited me. Although there was much reluctance in my mind, I don't know, is old man going to invite me? When we're going to come back for Taraweeh? Will I get my Jamaat or not? So all these doubts were playing up in my mind. But nonetheless, it was a request of this old man, and I had some regards and respect for him. So on account of the respect and regards I had, let me just go with him. And we walked and we walked and we walked. I said, you know, Gujarat is a marigya. The Jamaat also is gone, everything is gone. We kept on walking. After about 3-4 kilometers of walking, then we came to his house. As we came to the house, said, "Ya Ghulam, Ghulam," one of his young workers or someone, "just get the rice ready, prepare rice." I said, "Definitely, everything is gone. No going to get our namaz, no going to get the Masjid al-Nabawi, nothing. Everything is lost. But how can I tell him? I'm still preparing the rice." Anyway, the rice was prepared, we ate nicely, comfortable. But now I still have to come back to the Masjid. So the old man said, "You just go that direction, you'll come to the Masjid." And I'm coming with a heavy head, convinced that I missed my namaz, everything. But I went straight to the Masjid. At the entrance, I saw someone sitting there at the entrance. There was hardly anybody. That time, the tartib was different. We're talking about 150 years ago. Nobody at all in the Masjid. There's one person standing there with the door side. So, in my curiosity and my anxiety, I asked, that since when did the Taraweeh end? How long ago did the Taraweeh end? So that person said to me, "Anta Majnoon, you're mad. Isha Namaz hasn't started yet. It's still half an hour for Isha Namaz. You're talking about this." So I realized that this was a great buzruk, that in that short time, we accomplished so much. We went 4-5 kilometers to that person's house. He got that khichdi already. We ate, came back, and still there was half an hour left. So in our midst, many a times, there are some pious individuals. And many a times, it's on account of these pious people that we enjoy a lot of blessings. No, that pious person generally seems like an insignificant person. He just looks like a furniture and an insignificant person in the entire work. Like you'll see, there's an old man, there's an old woman in the house, right? And she doesn't seem to be contributing anything, right? But there is so much of enjoyment, happiness, and everything carrying on in the house. Now, many a times that happiness, the goodness, all that is flowing is on account of that weak. Sick, ill, weak, frail person, all that enjoyment is being experienced. Once we were in Nizamuddin, and the elders of Bhopal had come in for the yearly istima. So, in the istima, they have their system is they have an amir for the istima. So the amir will have to see to every department of the istima. Now, in that, there was a discussion as to who is supposed to be appointed as the amir. So one old alim that was there, everybody looked towards him that he should be appointed as the amir. The picture is still very vivid in my eye. When he's appointed, he began to cry. He said, "I'm so weak, I'm so frail. How can you all appoint me as the Amir?" Hazrat Ji Ma'inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi told him, quoted the hadith, "Hal tunsaruna wa turzaquna illa bidu'afaikum." You get your rosy and you get your assistance because of this weak of yours. That weak father, uncle, granny, auntie, someone that is weak around you. Sometimes it's a child that is handicapped. So don't consider that as a burden. Because of this person that is handicapped, he's weak, he's frail, that person that is incapable, whatever, you don't know what type of a broken heart he's got. Ana inda munkasaratil kulub. Allah Pak is closest to that person whose heart is broken down. In other words, when you say broken down, he got nothing as a support. Someone has got his business as support. Someone got his investment as a support. Someone got his bank balance as a support. And this man has got nothing as a support. If he got nothing, then the only way he can turn to is to Allah Ta'ala. No other place. He got no place. So Allah Ta'ala says about this person that he is very close to me. Because he's got no support, no apparent visible support. I'm very close to this person here. So then he told him, "See, you are saying this, but the hadith is saying that it is because of you type of people that other people get blessed. They get their rosy and they get assistance from Allah Ta'ala because of your people. So don't consider these people, don't underestimate them. Don't look at them with contempt. Whether it's a child, whether it's a handicapped person, whether it's an old, frail, weak person, don't look at him with contempt. Getting your support, you're getting a blessing all through him. And that is visible, that becomes clear when that person has to pass away. When he passes away, now you say, hey, suddenly, man went away, I don't see the barakat now. I don't see that goodness now. When he was around, he wasn't doing anything, but I saw goodness, happiness, things were just flowing, barakat is coming through. How it was happening, Allah Pak knows. Now he's gone, everything, he took everything and went away. He came with everything, and when he went, he took away everything. So what I'm getting at is there are some people around that are of this level of piety. The imani power is very, very strong. Very, very strong. Outwardly, they don't seem like very pious, and very, very great and very conspicuous. But the imani strength is very mighty. Up to recently, now I don't know, now you hardly come across this type of situation. They may be around, but you don't see it now. So clearly you don't see it. In the early days, 30, 40 years ago, if you had to go for Umrah or Hajj, then you'll see two Arabs disputing, you know. And one third one will come and say, "Salli ala Nabi." Let's read Durood Sharif. The moment you say Durood Sharif, before this Salli ala Nabi,
they were about to come to blows with each other. First, you know, they're so angry. But this third person had just come and seen, which to just chip in and say, Salli alayhi, Durood Sharif. And where that anger has disappeared, Allah Pak knows. So the iman was so strong, the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so great. Allah Pak gives us that type of love. You get that people, perhaps now, because our staying is such, now we just go to the hotel, come back from the hotel, we hardly meet up with the locals, we don't know who they are, and we hardly get to see them. Before it wasn't such, so it was easy to recognize these people. In Afghanistan, the iman of these people also was something to be, something to admire, something to see, something to witness. Not that they weren't criminal elements, in spite of the number of crime that they were committing, but the iman was too great, like mountains. Sometime it was a criminal that is brought up, and the way to execute a criminal in that zamana was, they would fasten him onto the cannon, and they would then activate the cannon, right? So as they're bringing him up right to the cannon, so he's reading, obviously he'll read La ilaha illallah, no? So he's reading La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah is coming. They're fastening him up to the cannon. And as they activate the thing, you can see that literally the whole body has been broken to pieces. Head one side, the legs one side. But clearly you can hear Muhammadur Rasulullah. The whole body is broken up into pieces, but you can hear him saying clearly, distinctly, you can hear him say, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So some people's iman is such, very, very powerful, like mountains. Very, very strong. It just needs a little bit of exposure, and you see how that iman of this works. In this day and time, the greatest problem is the weakness of the iman, weakness of the faith. See, iman is like a root, it's like the foundation. If the foundation is strong, it will carry the edifice. The whole structure can be supported. Why? Because the foundation is strong. But if the foundation itself is not strong, then it can't carry. If I'm not going to overdraft, what's going to happen? If I'm not going to take this insurance, what's going to happen? Right? I need to get something for this child, so I need to fill in some false documents, as though he's under 13 or something, so I will qualify for a better price, right? So that iman is so weak that it can't even propel truthness and honesty in the person. Can't even ask him to speak truth. So that foundation is so weak. Now, when the foundation is so weak, then the need of the time, what is the need of the hour? The need of the hour is to strengthen the iman, is to get the iman right. Because once that iman is right, then no matter what weight you're going to put upon it, it's going to take it. It's going to take it in the stride. Because you've got the strength now. So how much more you want to give, so much more, all right. Anything more? And now, say, hey, so much more I must do. I must do this as well. I must do this as well. So there is no strength in that iman to take on any additional weight. But if that iman was strong, then any amount of weight would have been manageable. Right? That is why the Tabligh Jamaat, they just want to work on the iman and yaqeen. There is some philosophy and reasoning behind it. It's not that they're just doing it randomly. The problem sometimes is with us that we don't take this thing seriously. We just say iman and yaqeen. But the idea is to get that iman and strengthen it. The more you're going to strengthen it, the more you're going to do the piling. You know, when you're doing a foundation, you're doing the piling. Now, any amount of burden that's going to come out onto it, you're going to take it, you're going to manage it easily. Say, do this, readily I'm doing it. Do that, readily. I got a place for this, I got a place for that, I got a place for everything. That was when that iman was strong. So Nabi Sam also worked on the iman. So it was just one command that was required for the prohibition of wine. Whereas the Arabs used to drink like fish. You know, they used to drink like fish, literally. Imagine, they didn't have one variety of wine, approximately over 300 varieties of wine. For each day of the year, each occasion, morning something else, evening something else, is vodka now, then is Kassel Lager then, there is Minstri afterwards. For every occasion, they had a different variety of wine that. Right? They had so much of wine. One person is coming, his whole life's earnings he had invested into wine. And he had bought an entire consignment from Syria. Overseas, he's coming into Mecca, coming into Medina Munawwara. At the outskirts, he hears that Nabi Sam has declared this as haram. Now imagine his whole life earnings. He had a couple of good millions. And everything was invested into this. Now imagine yourself now, you know, you had your life earnings. Life earnings. You worked for it, you strived for it, you did everything for it. Coming here at the gates of Medina, you're hearing that this is haram. Now, it's to see what is the response of the person. He just has to hear it once. He verified the information that Nabi Sam said this, finish. Destroyed all those containers, every container, destroyed it, let it flow. That billions are not worried. But the word of Nabi Sam mustn't break. I can break, my money can break. His wording mustn't break. Now, what is this iman again? That iman was at that level, at that point, where this one instruction was sufficient to take any amount of load. So that is why the Quran Sharif, you'll find randomly, I'm checking, about 4 or 5 places where Allah Ta'ala speaks. He starts off with iman. Get the iman right. Today, my surah, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Get your iman right. Right? Surah Baqarah, when you're starting off, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Right? What is all this? All iman. And when Surah Baqarah is ending up, again, imaniyat. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربي والمؤمنون. Starting off with iman, ending off with iman. So it is to empower your iman. Get it. Strengthen it. Get the thing right. See how it's starting off. It's starting off with what? With iman. And ending off with iman. Then you won't ask, my Mawlana must do this, you know. But, you know, I need to finance this car. Man. My business is not working. Man. You know, Mawlana, it can't be, you know, it can't be so difficult. You can't make a plan. Right. You won't talk this type. This type of language you won't talk. Because the iman is strongly embedded into the heart. Imanu fi juzuril qulub. It's called type deep. Type right deep into the hearts. كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. The heart, the iman, and the roots are deep, deep into the ground, and the fruits, the branches are all reaching towards the heavens. So when that iman is gone deep into the heart, it's deep, 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 then your outlook is towards the heaven, in other words, towards Jannah. What's akhirat? That is the outlook. You can't say my iman is very strong and then be involved in interest and all type of nonsense. You can't say that. If your iman is strong, very, very strong, then it will reflect. There will be some reflection. Nothing can come and then break your iman. Nothing can. This is one place, right? Again, the Quran Sharif in Surah Baqarah again,
وَإِذَ خَذْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Again, starting off with iman. Get the iman right. See that? Get the iman right. Then again, in Surah Nisa, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتُّ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ. What surah is that? Ali Imran. Huh? قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتُّ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ. What surah is that? What surah is that? Huh? Surah An'am, yeah, Surah An'am. Right. So you see, everywhere Allah Pak is starting with what? At any point, where Allah Pak is starting with? Get your iman right. So there must be some reason why Allah Ta'ala is commencing this whole subject with iman. And thereafter, the other amal. But get your iman right. Now, what are the ways to get the iman right? We spoke about the importance of iman. Now, what are the ways to get the iman right? Because like I say, that iman is the foundation. You got the foundation right, then you can put on any amount of load. Load is amal, right? Halal and haram is the load. So you got your iman, the foundation right, it will be able to manage the load. But the foundation is not right, then you're going to squeal all the time. I must do this now, I must do this, I can't do this, this is haram, that Muslim got nothing, you know. So you'll keep complaining. Now once you got that iman right, you got the foundation, then any amount of load. Now what are the possible ways to get this iman right? Simple possible ways. So in this month of Ramadan, then the hadith encourages us, say La ilaha illallah in abundance, istighfar in abundance. One simple easy way, perhaps I am lazy, so I look for easy ways. Right? On easy, simple ways. You see, you're reading 20 rakat namaz, right? After every tarweeha, after every 4 rakats, you can at least say La ilaha illallah 10 times. Right? And you can say istighfar 10 times. And I notice you can say even Lauma inni saluka ridaka wal jannah wa auzubika min sakhatika man nar. So these are the 4 things that you are required to do in the month of Ramadan, right? And after every tarweeha, you can say 10 times La ilaha illallah, 10 times istighfar, 3 times asluka ridaka wal jannah, wa auzubika min sakhatika wal nar. And before that, inshallah, Mawla Yusuf also won't get up. I timed it today, he won't get up. He's fast, but he's moderate also. He gives you that time. That you can do 10 of this, 10 of this. In yasaluka ridaka wal jannah. Wa auzubika min sakhatika. So all what the hadith told you, you'll do it. So if you got a routine, you'll do it. But you don't have a routine, just doing it randomly, then you're not going to do it. You'll do it one day you're not going to do it. Hey, I didn't do this. I'm supposed to be doing this, I didn't do it. But you're doing it as a routine, then you'll do it. And also, I also notice that is in every 4 rakat. But in every 2 rakat, you can do it at least 3 times. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, 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 wa ma in yas'aluka ridaka wal jannah, wa auzubika min sakhatika wal nar. All it requires is a little bit of focus. So you will do it 3 times after every 2. After every 4, you'll do it 10 times. Now count now that what it will amount to at the end, the completion of the 20 rakats, how much it will amount to? See? How much it will work out to? G? 60? 65. Yeah. 65 La ilaha illallah. 65 istighfar. And Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah, how many times? 20. All right. So you'll get that at least 20 times you've asked. Like I say, when you put yourself into a routine, then you can do it. But you just said, no, let's just do more, just do it. That was for the people that system in their lives. Now, people like us got no system. So we tie ourselves to a system, then we'll do it. But the condition for this happening easily is that you need to be focused. Then after that, tarbiyah straight away. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. You're doing it. You're not looking around who's coming, who coughed, who yawned, who sneezed. Don't do anything. Just focus on this thing here. You focus on it, you'll do it right. You'll do it with ease, and you'll complete 65 within that duration. What an easy prescription. Isn't that easy prescription? What's so difficult about this? So you're asked to do it in Ramadan. In Tarawih, you can do it 65 times. Just in Tarawih only, you can do it 65 times. That's apart from the other times that you can do it. Then at least you don't have any regrets afterwards. Okay, I didn't do it at all. Right? 65 times, then 20 times you're doing Yasaluka Ridhaka wal Jannah, Auzubika min Sakhatika wal Nar. And if you don't know the Arabic, then say it in your own language. Labak, I ask you, I beg you for your pleasure and Jannat. And I ask you refuge against your displeasure and Jahannam. Is that difficult? I ask you, I beg you for your pleasure and Jannat and refuge from Jahannam and your displeasure. Isn't that an easy thing? Right? So the only additional thing with this kalima is that do it with ikhlas. Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan. Do it and do it with ikhlas. So when it is done in short intervals, short, then you can do it with ikhlas. You can apply yourself. You can have the focus and the concentration of the mind. Al-Mawla Muhammad Ijaz Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say that when you do short rakats, you can do it with much more concentration as compared to lengthy rakats. He's also showing us some easy ways. You do short rakats. So you do the la ilaha illa short. So you do that short 3 times, 10 times, then there'll be more concentration. Right? Your concentration level will be greater. You're doing it with ikhlas. Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan, you're getting your jannat. So easy. Is that difficult also? So that is one way to strengthen your iman. The other way to strengthen your iman is, see, when you've been given a gift, right? When someone has given you a gift, and you want his gifts to flow all the time. He's being kind towards you. He's being compassionate towards you. So you want his compassion to flow all the time. You don't want that compassion to cut off, to break up. So what is the easy way to allow the compassion and the love and the kindness to continue? Is to show appreciation. Right? Isn't it? That he's lent you the car, right? He lent you his car, an expensive car, and he lent you. So when you returned the car, you bought one pair of mags. See, this person here, he appreciated. See what he does, what he's done for me. Or you bought him, he lent you the car. Then when he came back, he brought a gift for you. He came from Cape Town, so he brought meatballs. And he brought some, all the tabarruks from Cape Town, sour figs, whatever. He brought them and came. So don't you feel happy? He said, this person went, but he thought of me, he brought something. So next time, it's already like, you know, you have secured your next ikram. You want the next ikram also, so you have secured it already. A little bit of appreciation. Thank the person, appreciate. So you thank Allah Ta'ala for him making you a Muslim. How many of us did that? Did 2 rakat namaz and say, Allah, I'm so happy that you made me Muslim. How many of us do it? So at least in the month of Ramadan, now you secure this iman. How you secure the iman is by reading 2 rakat namaz, shukriya. Allah, you know, what you have done for me, it's something that I can't attach a price to this. Nobody can attach a price. Can anybody attach a price to iman? Nobody can attach a price to iman. Allah, what you have done for me. I don't have the capacity to thank you. I don't have the strength to, at least if you read 2 rakat namaz. Thank Allah Ta'ala. Just 2 rakat. But that, let it be a short rakat. But let your heart flow with thanks. Let it not be just a routine. What is just a routine? Routine, what happens in the airport, you know? Airport, when you're entering the plane, welcome on board, thank you for flying with Emirates or whatever, right? That is all. It's just a formality. Three quarters of the people don't even look at the time when they disembark. They don't even look at the person that's saying welcome and thank you for flying with us. They don't even look at the person because they know it's a formality. But now you're doing the 2 rakats short, but with the prism, Allah, I'm so thankful, I'm so happy that you blessed me with iman. So won't Allah like you? Won't you secure this gift of iman? So the way to secure a gift is to be thankful. Right. Allah Pak says it. He'll give you an increase. What does it mean by increase? Increase means your iman will grow. Like, you know, when you eat, you say, Alhamdulillah, lazi atamana. Right. So I'm so thankful to you, Allah Ta'ala, that you have fed me. Right. So you are asking Allah Ta'ala for a next meal. And you're also asking Allah Ta'ala, this is the next meal can be manageable if this digests. So it's 2 in 1. So you've already secured the next meal, and the meal that you have taken, you've already digested it as well. By just saying, Alhamdulillah, alladhi atamana, but with a little bit of presence of mind. That is now the second way to show appreciation. The third way of showing appreciation, after Maghrib, after Isha, after Maghrib and after Fajr. Raditu billahi rabba. وَبِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. So you're expressing your gratitude. Right? I found this very effective. Do it, read the words. Obviously, there can't be anything that can substitute the wording of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. But in your mind, what you can do also is, when you are relaxed, when you relax it, when you're going to sleep, then you think of Allah Ta'ala and the blessing of iman. Allah Ta'ala, I thank you. I'm so happy that you gave me iman. I'm so pleased about this. I'm so happy about this. Shukran ni'mat hayatu baqadra ni'mat hayatu wa uzra taqsiratima baqadra taqsiratima. How nicely he said it. Shukran ni'mat hayatu baqadra ni'mat hayatu wa uzra taqsiratima baqadra taqsiratima. Not a little bit of Farsi also, by kisi tarah se mar peet karke Urdu sikha diya, of the Farsi sikh lo kisi tarah se. This is shukr ni'mat hai tu baqadr ni'mat hai tu. To the extent of your favors, Allah Ta'ala, I thank you. Can you enumerate Allah Ta'ala's favors? So you say this short, Allah Ta'ala, to the extent of your favors, I thank you. So much of your favors, because I can't count it. In ta'uddu ni'matullah ila, can't count it. So to the extent of your favors, I thank you so much. You're sleeping, you're going to sleep, but with a smile on your face, Allah, so much, so much, and so much. I ate so well, I drank so well, I got a pleasant family, my business is all right, alhamdulillah, I got a roof, I got a shelter. So many people don't have a shelter. So many people don't eat before they don't have a meal before they can sleep. They don't have a decent shelter. They don't have a decent meal. But I got a meal. I got a shelter. I got a nice family. Everything I got. So you're saying, Allah, shukr ni'mat hayatu, baqadr ni'mat hayatu. So much in proportion to your favors is my thanks, Allah Ta'ala. So much. So you're smiling at Allah Ta'ala and you're thanking Him and you're pleased with Him. Right? You're pleased with Him. You're thanking Him. And you are happy with Allah Ta'ala. Isn't that great? That will enhance your iman. Right? And then you sing, Uzra taqsiratima, baqadra taqsiratima. It will only be complete if I also seek for forgiveness for my shortcomings. Right? One is your favors, and then my shortcomings. Allah Ta'ala. And I excuse myself. I repent in proportion to my wrongs. To the extent of my wrong, then I ask for forgiveness as well. Like I am expressing my gratitude, my appreciation for your favors, in proportion to your favors, then in proportion to my wrongs, my weaknesses, my limitations, my misdemeanors, I also ask for forgiveness. Now imagine if a person reads this with a smile on his face, he's happy for Allah Ta'ala, he's happy for Islam, he's happy for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he sleeps like this, and say he sleeps forever, he doesn't get up. But isn't it a good way to sleep? These were the last words, either in your tongue, either in your heart. Okay, Allah Ta'ala, I'm so happy for Islam, so happy to be the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm pleased with Raditu Billahi Rabba, bi Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Rasoola, wa bil Islami Deena. So you may not be saying the words, but you are conscientizing yourself, reminding yourself of these words. Right? Concentrating, and then you are also pleading for forgiveness for your wrongs. And then in that state you died. But isn't that a great way to die? Yeah? Isn't that a great way to die? Rather saying, oh Allah Ta'ala, you know, that other shop I opened, that thing is not working, Allah Ta'ala, you know, make something to work for me now. Now, is that a good way to die, or is this a good way to die? Which way? The choice is yours. Or if it's a youngster, hey, Allah Pak, you know, hey, that girl I need to get married to, Allah Pak, make a plan for me now. I tried now, you know, if I don't get this girl yet, then I'll get married to Allah Ta'ala. So youngster will think like this, the average age, the shoppers could work. See? So rather than engaging the mind in this, engage the mind in this. I'm happy with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, what you did for me, I can't thank you. So much you have done. And I'm happy with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, of all gunegars, person like me, and I'm to be the ummat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala, I'm so appreciative, I'm so happy about it. So you're happy with Allah Ta'ala, you're happy with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you're happy to be in Islam. And you're also asking for forgiveness for your shortcomings, your limitations, your weaknesses, and deficiency. You can't thank him as you ought to be thanking him. So you're doing that as well. Can you see now the comprehensive dua or the mindset? Even if you don't say it with your tongue, but you are thinking like this. Isn't it a good way? Isn't it an excellent way? So the hadith also says that the way that you die, will you get up? You died in a certain way, so you will get up in that way. So you died with saying, Allah, I'm happy with you, happy with your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, happy with Islam. So you get up on the day of Qiyamah, you sing, Allah, I'm happy with you, I'm happy with Islam, I'm happy with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the second way that you will strengthen your iman. One is the kalima, you will recite, and one is repeatedly, you will say this, when you're going to sleep, and also when you get up in the morning. When you get up in the morning for 2-3 minutes, can't we think about that whilst we're making wuzu or whilst we're preparing to go to the masjid, preparing to perform namaz? Can't we just think like that? Allah, I'm so happy that I've been chosen to be a mu'min. That you are, that I'm in Islam, I'm in deen, I've got the kalima, I'm your servant. I've got Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as my Rasul. I'm so happy with that. Can't we say that in the morning as well? So this is the essence of Raditu Billahi Rabba wa bi Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Rasoola wa bi Islami Deena. And I showed you the Farsi that Shukra ni'mat hayatu baqadra ni'mat hayatu uzra taqsirate ma baqadra taqsirate ma. See, this is the second way to strengthen our iman. Right. And the third way to strengthen iman is, this is a little bit of a difficult one. See, in everything you have a positive and a negative. This world doesn't work with only positives. Wire, do you see wire? Right. And you want the electricity to flow. Do you only require a positive, or you need a positive and a negative? You need both. Only positive can it work? Can't work. Right. There must be. I mean, kulli shayin khalaqna zawjain la'allakum tadhakkarun. Allah create everything in pairs. If only man, no woman, can the world function.
Now don't say that she's negative. But this is the style of Allah Ta'ala, that everything has to work in pairs. Everything has to be work in pairs, and nothing works like that. Right? If there's no pair, it doesn't. The work, this world doesn't work. You got a floor, you must have a roof. Right? If there is food you are taking, then there's an intake, there's an exit, isn't it? Only taking in, no exit, problems you got, isn't it? Only taking in and no exit, isn't there a problem? Must have a problem. So this world is made like that, that there is a positive, there is a negative. Right? So I showed you the positive of Iman. Now the negative of Iman. The negative of Iman, in this day there's too many negatives. Too many negatives. You see, this all this thing I'm thinking about the way it started off from secularism. It's a discussion on its own, but you'll have to accept this. See, one of the thinkers of secularism, pioneers, W.W. Hunter, and that type of people who wrote these type of books, talking about 1.5 centuries away. So he wrote, it's recorded in Indian history up to now, it's preserved. He says that we are going away from India, right? We're going to be going away from India. It's not a problem that we have to go away. Because we moved away, right? We moved away, right? Physically moved away. But our culture is deeply rooted in the Indian. Our ways, our culture, our language, our mannerisms, our values are all deep in the Indian. So that Indian, what has happened to him, outwardly he is a Muslim, Hindu, whatever else. But within what he's an Englishman. His behavior, his ways, his mannerisms, his culture, everything is English. But how true is it? That was one thing he's saying. The second thing he's saying, that there isn't any person that enters into our institutes, colleges, universities, schools. This is what he's saying, right? All record, in record it is. Sometime I got the time, I'll pull it out and show it to you. Right? He says, there isn't any Hindu, Jew, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim that enters into our schools, universities, colleges. But when he has to come out, then there is the doubt in him. He comes out with a doubt about his own creed, about his own religion. He's got some reservation. Islam is true, but now what about evolution? Yesterday there was a question. All right, well, you know, we don't accept evolution for mankind. Can we believe about evolution for animals? Somehow, mar chun karke isko dakhil karna hai. Somehow get that evolution. You see how deeply the thing has crept into the faith. That he doesn't want to separate from this. But where it came from? It came from the secularism. Now, you go and talk to your great-grandfather. You'll see, he may have not known a lot about Islam, but his iman was very strong. Because he wasn't exposed to all this thing here. Iman, it was impeccable. It wasn't shakable. And today, 70-80%, I'm not exaggerating, people's iman is affected. And you see where it started from, secularism. They went and read this type of literature. You read that literature when you've got that type of fortification and you've got that type of strength. You don't take a challenge with a person that you don't have the capability to confront. Right? You're going to take on Mike Tyson. I got iman. Can you take him on? You can't take him on. You don't have that strength. So these people's evil is so strong. It's so strong. Your iman is so weak. You're going to go and take, you're going to challenge them. What's going to happen? You're risking your iman. Your iman was at that level, so strong, powerful, so mighty, then you won't have this reservations about evolution or whatever else. You won't have that. But now you got that reservation. You got some hesitation. You got some doubt, etc. Why you've got this doubt? Because the iman was weak. And you went and taken something that was far stronger than you. You take on things that you can manage. You can't take the thing, then why must you take? Why must you go and challenge the thing? You take on a thing that you can manage.
You are a small little bucky, and you're putting 20 tons onto it. Can you manage that? Can't manage that load. So why you took it on? So we're reading sites, we're educating ourselves and our children, and we think our children are very, very educated. But what is happening to the iman? Are we checking? So now how will he live in this world if he's got no education? All right. Then if you want to put him into that system, corrupt system, then you got something to check his iman. No, I'm sending him to the maktab. That's not sufficient. That's only 4 or 5 days a week, and 3/4 of the time is holiday. If you just count the school calendar, more than half is holiday. So it's not sufficient time. What are you doing to secure your iman and the children's iman? What have you done? See what he's saying. There isn't any person that enters our university, school, but his faith will definitely be shaken. It's guaranteed. The way they worked out the curriculum. Okay, you can't enter into the curriculum without a reservation and doubt in your iman. So that means it was a calculated effort. It wasn't just by chance. They made the curriculum such, okay, we have to go through this system, then there will be a doubt in your iman. So is it worth it? If you have to, then you do something for your security. The better thing was not to go for it. But if for some reason you can't avoid it, then it's your child, it's your jannat and your child's jannat. If jannat means something to you, then do something for him as well. If jannat, if you're worried about his physical self, right, then you need to be worried about his spiritual self as well. Right? Because the physical self, somehow or the other, it will perish. Right? Go and look at a body, just 2 days in the grave. You won't want to see your own father's grave. Own father's body, you don't want to see. Only after 2 days. The mess, the smell, the stench, you don't want to see it. So that is the end of the physical. The spiritual remains, right? Now, is it a sensible thing? In order to try to save the children's clothing, you allow the bodies to burn. So the body in comparison to the soul is like the clothing. So you say, now look after his clothing, look after the clothing. The clothing is so important, clothing is so important. But you allow the child's body to burn, to decay, for him to get cancer at the fourth level. But you look after his clothing. Yeah? Is it sensible? So exactly the same. You allow the clothing to, you secure the clothing, but you allow the body to decay, to waste, to rot. So this is the soul and this is his body. This is iman and this is the material. So if the clothes is important, then how much more is important, how much more is the person that's going to wear the clothing? If he's not going to be there, what's the need of the clothing? So if the person's physical self is important, then his spiritual self is even more important. His soul is much more important. Then what checks and balances have we caught in place to secure his iman, to secure his hereafter, to secure all this thing? So I showed you two positive and one negative. So all these things, literature, media, company, environment, all these things working against your child. Working against you. One is your child. I know old chachas come here, and I'm 60 years of age. Sometimes they say, hey, we saw one photo now, we're reading namaz, ruku time, that girl's picture is coming in front of us. Old chachas, I say. So you are confronted with so many fitnas. What have you done for your security? Allah Pak blessed you so much. You got one shop, two shop, 10 shop. Your investment, 50, 60,000 rand a month. So who gave all this? Allah Pak gave. But for him, what did you do to secure your iman? He gave you so much. You asked for it, he gave you so much. But to protect your iman and the iman of your children, what have you done? Or you think, no, my place in this world is to eat, to make more, enjoy. That animals also do the same. You think that eating is great, you know, and I can eat so much, then I'll put you against an elephant. But you can't stand a chance. If you think, you know, like how the white people have a competition. I was reading one article, they must eat boiled eggs. One person finished, eat 100. I managed it.
Just to think about eating more than three, you know, you feel bilious already. He pushed it 100. That is their life, right? That is their life. Because there is no concept of akhirat. There is no concept of akhirat. That's what, only physical self they're worried about. So when for the physical, he's given you so much, so many shops, so much of money, so much of whatever. What have you done to secure that greatest gift that he's given? What do you ask yourself? And then after that, take some positive steps to correct the rectify. Allah, but whatever happened, happened now, we made a big mistake. We messed up, and badly we messed up. And make some promises to Allah. Make some pledges to Allah. We messed up. In proportion to what you have given us, we haven't appreciated. So today, being the 12th or 13th, what, 13th night today? 13th night of Ramadan. We are asking Allah, Thursday night is a big night. So we are asking for forgiveness. And we are making some promises that this is how we are going to change ourselves, correct ourselves, remedial, and we'll try and guard our iman. Can't we do that, inshallah?
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على روح سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأرواح وصلي على جسد سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأجساد وصلي على قبر سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في القبور اللهم صلي على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى أهل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطيئة اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين Oh most kind and beloved Allah Oh most merciful and rahim Allah Oh Allah Ta'ala please forgive our sins Oh Allah forgive all our sins Oh Allah Oh Allah our major and minor sins Oh Allah Oh Allah those sins that we did knowingly and unknowingly Oh Allah Please forgive all our sins, O Allah. O Allah, you are most kind, you are most loving, you are most caring. You love to forgive our sins, O Allah. O Allah, please, we beg you, O Allah, on this Mubarak night, in this Mubarak masjid, in this Mubarak majlis, O Allah. O Allah, Ta'ala, please forgive our sins, O Allah. Forgive all our sins, O Allah. Forgive our parents' sins, our spouses, our children's sins, our relatives, our friends, our asatiza. And the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, make fesla of maghfirat of our sins, O Allah. Wallah, you are most kind and most merciful, O Allah. Wallah, Ta'ala, please forgive us, O Allah. Wallah, Ta'ala, be kind and merciful towards us, O Allah. Wallah, look at us with eyes of rahmat and mercy, O beloved Allah. Wallah, Ta'ala, forgive us, Ya Allah. Wallah, bless us with goodness and bless us with kindness, O Allah. Allah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to ask you for afiyat, O Allah. O Allah, we beg you for afiyat, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-daimah fi al-deen wal-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inna nasaluka tamam al-afiyah ونسألك دوام العافية ونسألك الشكر على العافية ونسألك الغنى عن الناس. O Allah Ta'ala, bless us with a life of afiyat and ease. O Allah Ta'ala, bless us with strong iman, Ya Allah. O Allah, we have never made shukr to you for this ni'mat of iman that you have blessed us with, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, we try to make shukr to you for this ni'mat of iman, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, bless us with this iman and make it stronger and stronger every day, O Allah. O Allah, make us live with iman, make us die with iman. Raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman, O Allah. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman. وأمتنا على الإيمان وحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. والله تعالى, allow us to make shukr to you for this ni'mat of iman that you have blessed us with, O Allah. والله تعالى, let us live with iman. And O Allah, when the last moments of our life comes, O Allah, let it come with the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah in our tongues and in our hearts, O Allah. Let us pass away in our condition that we are obedient to you, O Allah. توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولينا في الدنيا والآخرة توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين ربي أوزعنا ربنا أوزعنا أن نشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن نعمل صالحا ترضاه وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين. والله تعالى, keep us in righteous company, O Allah. والله, in this world also keep us in good pious company, O Allah. In the akhirat also keep us in the company of the righteous, O Allah. والله, when the last moments of our life comes, O Allah, make those moments the best moments of our lives. اللهم اجعل خير عمرنا آخره وخير أعمالنا خواتمه وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام. O Allah Ta'ala, when we enter our graves, O Allah, let it be, Ya Allah, that it becomes a garden of Jannah for us, Ya Allah. Let it not be a pit from the pits of Jahannam, O Allah. O Allah, when the Malaika come and question us in the grave, O Allah, then let us answer the questions easily. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسوله ونبيا. O Allah, make the grave into a garden of Jannah for us, O Allah. O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, when we have to stand before you, O Allah, let it be with ease and afiyat, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with the shade of your arsh, Ya Allah. Allow us to be basking in the mountains of Musk, O Allah. O Allah, save us from difficulty and hardship on that day, O Allah. O Allah, Ta'ala, bless us with our book of deeds in our right hand, O Allah. Let it be that our books are given in our right hand, O Allah. O Allah, bless us that we can drink the water from the rose, from the Houthi Kosar, from the Mubarak hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah. O Allah, Ta'ala, bless us that we can cross the pul sirat at the speed of lightning, O Allah. O Allah, allow us to enter into Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, O Allah. O Allah, Ta'ala, save us from the fire of Jahannam, O Allah. O Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, O Allah. O Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, O Allah. O Allah, bless us with Jannatul Firdaus, O Allah. O Allah, bless us with Jannatul Firdaus. O Allah, did Sahabi ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, murafaqataka fil Jannah. O Allah, bless us also with the murafaqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. O Allah, the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah, O Allah. O Allah, bless us. Allahumma inna nasaluka imanan la yartad, wa na'iman la yanfad, wa murafaqata nabiyyina sayyidana wa maulana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi a'la darajatil Jannah, Jannatil Khuld. O Allah, Ta'ala, bless us with that companionship of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus, O Allah. O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, O Allah, do not deprive us of your didar, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with that ecstasy of being able to see you, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka ladhatan nazri ila wajhika al-kareem wa shuqan ila liqaik. Allahumma la tasudda anna wajhaka yawm al-qiyamah. O Allah, Ta'ala, the highest pinnacle of Jannah, Ya Allah, will be to witness you, O Allah.
Allah, bless us with that also. Oh Allah. Don't deprive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Ta'ala, don't deprive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the ni'mat of shukr, Ya Allah. That we can thank you and we can be appreciate all the ni'mats that you blessed us with, Oh Allah. Oh Allah, Ta'ala, let our hearts explode with shukr, Ya Allah. Let our tongues be busy with making shukr to you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us not be complainers and crybabies that we cry and complain about everything in life, Oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us make us from the shakirin, Ya Allah. Waj'alna shakirin li ni'matik. Waj'alna shakirin li ni'matik. Allahumma inna نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا شاكرا وقلبا شاكرا ولسانا صادقا وتوبة نصوحا والله تعالى bless our parents, Ya Allah. Bless them with the best of this dunya, the qabr and the akhirat, O Allah. O Allah, if any of our parents have passed on, Ya Allah. O Allah, then make their qabrs into gardens of Jannat, O Allah. Make their maghfirat, Ya Allah. Bless them with the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus, O Allah. O Allah, we beg you, O Allah, be happy and pleased with us at all times, Ya Allah. O Allah, don't ever become angry with us or upset with us at all, Ya Allah. O Allah, we beg you for your rida and your happiness, O Allah. O Allah, Ta'ala, please be happy with us, be pleased with us, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be happy and pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah, allow our parents to be happy and pleased with us at all times, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow our mashayikh and our asatizah to be happy and pleased with us at all times, Ya Allah. Allah Ta'ala, allow your awliya kiram to be happy and pleased with us at all times, Ya Allah. O Allah, we seek your protection from your ghadab, Ya Allah, from your anger. Allah Ta'ala, don't ever become angry or upset with us, O Allah. O Allah, don't allow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ever be upset, displeased with us, Ya Allah. O Allah, let it not be that our parents ever become upset or displeased with us, Ya Allah. O Allah, let it never be that our asatiza, our mashayikh, your awliya ever become upset or displeased with us, O Allah. O Allah, keep us in your pleasure at all times, Ya Allah. O Allah, Ta'ala, keep us in your pleasure at all times, Ya Allah. Oh beloved most kareem Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, most raheem Allah, Allah Ta'ala, make our spouses, our children, the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless our children with ilm, with amal, with izzat, with iffat, with afiyat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless our children with haya, Ya Allah. Bless our children with haya and shame, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, haya is coming out of us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with haya, Ya Allah. Bless us with shame, Ya Allah. Bless us with adab and respect, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are losing respect for the masjid, for the Quran, for the ulama, for the house of Allah. Allah, we are losing respect, Ya Allah. Bless us with adab. Allah, bless us with taqwa. Allah, Ta'ala, bless us with taqwa. Bless us with tawazu. Save us from pride and arrogance, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with simplicity and sincerity, Ya Allah. Allah, Ta'ala, bless us with ikhlas, Ya Allah. In everything that we do it solely for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'alna mukhlisina laka wa ahlana fi kulli sa'ati min ad-dunya wal-akhira. Allah, Ta'ala, bless us with ikhlas and sincerity. Save us from pride and arrogance, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from pride and arrogance, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us for the service and the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us for the service and the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Let it be that our entire lives are spent in the service and the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Allah, we are not worthy of serving deen, Ya Allah. We are not worthy of serving your deen, Ya Allah. But it's your kindness and your mercy that you can shower upon us and accept us for the service and the khidmat of the deen, for which Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba had given their lives for, Ya Allah. Allah, give us some hissa in that, Ya Allah, and accept us also, Ya Allah. Grant us ikhlas and sincerity, O Allah. Allah, guide us and help us and assist us, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, every step of the way we need your assistance and your nusrat. Allah, help us, Ya Allah. Allah, Ta'ala, help us, Ya Allah. Grant us afiyat and grant us ease and comfort, O Allah. Allah, guide us, Ya Allah. Protect us. Make our hifazat, Ya Allah. Make hifazat of our deen. Make hifazat of our iman. Make hifazat of our a'mal, our akhlaq, our aqaid, our amal, our izzat. Allah, make hifazat of us, Ya Allah. Allah, and all our wrongs and evils, Ya Allah, please you do forgive us, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, you are most kind and most forgiving, most merciful, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, you love to forgive us, Ya Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, please accept us, please forgive us, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min al-khayri kullihi, ajilihi wa ajilihi ma alimna, minhu wa ma lam na'lam, wa na'udhu bika min al-sharri kullihi, ajilihi wa ajilihi ma alimna, minhu wa ma lam na'lam. O Allah Ta'ala, accept us for the service and the khidmat of the Qur'an Kareem, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with the ability to be able to read the Qur'an Sharif correctly, properly. O Allah, give us the tawfiq of understanding the Qur'an Sharif properly. O Allah, give us the tawfiq of making khidmat of the Qur'an Sharif, whether it's teaching the Qur'an, whether it's understanding the Qur'an, whether it's passing the message of the Qur'an over, O Allah. O Allah, allow us to live and die with the service and the khidmat of the Qur'an Majeed, O Allah. Rabbana, taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.